Yirmiyahu Peret Tesbov. Hashem told Yirmiyahu that so much do I not want you to pray for Klal Yisrael that I'm afraid that if you do pray, I'll listen and I'll have a pity on people, but I don't want to. They need to be punished. If they don't get punished, it might be more ruinous for them. So Hashem tells Yirmiyahu, even if Moshe and Shmuel would stand up before me, I would not listen to them. Shmuel is known very much in Tanakh as a great interceder between God and his people. And a number of times he stood on their behalf, and Hashem always paid heed to Shmuel and always paid heed to Moshe, as in this week's Parsha Shlach. Therefore, Yirmiyahu is giving us, let's say, a kal chomer. Hashem tells him, I wouldn't even listen to Moshe and Shmuel. I'm certainly not going to listen to you. Right? So let's go. Vayoki amru elecho, ono neitzei. Vamarto alehem, koma Hashem, ashel amavis lamavis, ashel acherev lacherev, ashel ra'av lara'av, ashel ashvi lashevi. What will happen? What will be of us? The person who is going to death will go to death. Okay. Sword. What is mavis, though? Mavis means to die by the plague. Pestilence that takes them quickly. Right? The Gemara in Meseches Bava Basra says that every subsequent statement in this pasuk is worse. Right? Because mavis is pestilence is quickly. Cherev is painful. Ra'av is painful and slow, and Shevi is now gets captivity. Now, what does the Gemara mean by this? Wouldn't you rather be captured than killed? Of course, if you think that you'll escape, right? You know, a person is willing to take on torture if he feels that he'll survive from it. But if you know that death is certain, that's Sha'ul HaMelech. That's when the Medrash in Bereishis Rabbah says, with Sha'ul HaMelech considered to be a halachically unsanctioned suicide. It was Talmud Lomar Ach. The Medrash says that no, because Shaul knew that death was imminent. How? And certain, because the witch that he called back from the dead the day before, remember that? She told him, Machar Ata Imadi, tomorrow you'll be with me. Now, whether most Mefarshim, especially in the Sephardic world, believe that witch did not say those things to himself, he dreamed it himself, or it was someone under the table. In a seance, right? There was one parish that says that Hashem did it. That's why she was so amazed. Hashem did it. But one thing is clear, no matter how you read what I just said, Shaul thought it was true. Shaul thought he was speaking to someone who was foretelling the absolute future for him. As such, he knew that death was not only imminent, it was certain. Mm-hmm. Only under those conditions is he allowed to do what he did. So, let's take a look here. He says that's why Shevi, because you know that there's no survival for the Shevi. It's long and drawn out, even more than Rav. Because Shevi may have all of these components. He has Rav, he has Mavis, he has Cherev, all of these will come to him, ultimately. Okay, Lisa, Fakadati Alehim Arba Mishpachos.
ופקצי עליהם ארבע משפחות מהם אשר את החיה בהרור ואת הכלבים לסעור ואת אוף השמיים ואת בהמת הארץ לאכול ולהשקיע.
So what he means to say that these four types of punishment that I mentioned in the previous pasuk, right? These four families, so to say, cherev, harov, v'saklovim, l'schov, the four families that he's calling upon are these four punishments that are mentioned in this pasuk. I have the dogs, the birds of the sky, the animals of the field, as well as the cherev. Every bit of it is going to work against you. Mm-hmm. Right? That's the targum to see it. Ba'asar alehen arba puranun. Puranun bishin. See, that's the mishpachot. Yirmiyahu is dealing with a personification, if you will. It's a metaphor, a personification of sorts, right? Okay. So I will call upon these four, and they'll work against you. Unisatim l'za'avo l'chom ha'malchos ha'aretz b'glal Menashe ben Chizkiyahu melech Yehuda al asher asav Yerushalayim. It's an unusual thing. You haven't seen psukim like this yet. Right? These things will happen because of what Menashe, the son of Chizkiyahu, did in Yerushalayim. What is that? He brought in Avodah Zarah into the Beis HaMikdash. That had never been done before. Ochaz came close to that, actually. That was Chizkiyahu's father. Ochaz came close. He cleared out the Beis HaMikdash and designed it like the Aramean Beis HaMikdash, but the Aramean temple. But no one outdid Menashe. So it says in Divrei Hayamim and in Sefer Melachim that because of Menashe's trespasses, if you recall from 3-4 years ago, when we did Sefer Melachim, that Menashe's trespasses closed the door on Bnei Israel's fate. Now, if you recall, we did once before a prophecy about Rachel. Rachel came before God and begged forgiveness for Bnei Israel. After Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov and Sarah and Leah came, and Hashem didn't listen to any of their claims. But Rachel was the one who was able to convince Hashem to forgive Bnei Israel for this. Because he said, listen, if you can't stand to have the fact that Bnei Israel took a competitor of yours into the Beis HaMikdash itself, right? What competition is Avodah Zarah to you? But you're very zealous and jealous of the fact that Bnei Israel took a competition to you right there into your house. Well, I did the same. I took competition into my house. Yaakov worked for me, and I allowed my sister. I even gave her the signs. Remember that medrash that so right. She wouldn't be embarrassed. So Hashem says, "Yesh tikva l'chriseich v'shavu banu l'gvulam." You convinced me, Rachel. It's because of your act of selflessness. And I always like to use this source. It's found in Rashi in Perek Lamed Aleph. That little things we might do, which we don't understand the import of at the time we do it. You just feel it's the right thing to do. Who knows how this can affect things of your great, great, great grandchildren, generations down the line, because of this one good thing. I think we can prove that the wedding between Yaakov and Leah took place on Purim. There's a medrash that seems to indicate that it took place on Purim. So there too, the medrash says because of Rachel's Anvasnusa, whatever that made her give over the signs, came Shaul, and because of Shaul's Anvasnusa that he didn't tell his family about being king, came Esther. So it's all, you know, that things put in motion for who knows how many years in advance. We may not realize in our life, but stands in for us. So this is because of what Menashe did, Rachel was able to gain some kind of expiation and forgiveness. Ki mi achmol alayach Yerushalayim, mi yonudlach, mi yosur lishol shalom lach. Who will call pity upon you, Yerushalayim? Right? Who is going to seek your peace? The answer is Rachel. And because Rachel does this, it's not about that Rachel. I mean, Medrash says that Rachel came from the pit and she came to scream to Hashem. It's not Rachel herself that came to beseech upon God for the sake of Bnei Israel. It was what Rachel did. Schus of her actions, right? And that's what spoke before God. Okay. I mean, I'm reading the shot of the Midrash. You know, okay. All right. So at Natasht Osi, Pasuk Vav. Would you read, please, Sheila? Pasuk Vav in Perek Tes Vav.
At Natasht Osi Yom Hashem Achor Tenechi Va'ach
Etiati Oyech Ash Biter. See, what an amazing play on words between the At. In the beginning of the pasuk and the at, in the middle of the pasuk, you see. Mm-hmm. Okay, the word natasht is like tishmetena unetashta, push away. Right? Natasht is the word shmita is the same word. Okay, it's to push away, to release. You released your grip upon me. You pushed me away. You turned your back on me. This is just an amazing, obviously in any other language but Hebrew, it does, you don't hear the pun. Right? What does at aleph tes mean?
Slowly.
Yes, okay. That's right.
I lost it.
Pasuk vav. Okay. So, va'at esyodi.
Okay.
Okay. So the Mitzvah says Miloshon Nitiya. No, noteh, the nun falls out of that word. Okay. Right, so I will place my hand upon you and I'll smack you, so to say, right? I'll destroy you, and I will refuse to be consoled, but to change my mind. Have you heard this pasuk? Netzach Yisrael lo yishoker velo yinochem. Mm-hmm. Right? That's Neely. Netzach Yisrael lo yishoker. Right. So Netzach Yisrael lo yishoker velo yinochem ki lo ishu li yinochem. He's not a man that he should do. That he should repent on his words and change his mind. You know what the next pasuk says in Shmuel Aleph after he says that? Vayinochem Hashem ki imliches Shaul. Very strange. Same word that appears when God created man and wants to destroy him in Parshas, the end of Parshas Bereishis. Vayinochem Hashem ki baras Adam. So the heretics in the Gemara ask questions on this. If God knows the future, why is he? So he says, when you have a child, you know that child will die one day. So why are you making the celebrations now? Alright. Ve'ezreim b'mizre b'sharei ha'aretz. Shikalti ibadati esamim b'darchechem lo shom. Now, mizre, you see the word zore there? Scatter. Zore is to winnow.
Well, scatter the winds.
So I'll scatter them to the winds. Across the gates of the land. Shikalti ibadati. You see the word shikalti. Shin kof lamed. Means to be seven. Means to be bereft of children. Right? Who said? Kasher shokolti shokolti. Kasher shokolti shokolti. No, it's easier than that. When you hear it, you'll kick yourself. You want to take... So Shimon is in jail. Binyamin you want to take down to Mitzrayim.
Oh, yeah.
I already lost Yosef. Kasher shokolti shokolti. Who said this? Loma eshkal gam shnechem yom echad.
That's
Rivka. Right. Now it's an easier one. Loma eshkal gam shnechem yom echad. Why should I be bereft of two children? And it's limited to children. Some of Horshim say she meant Yitzchak and Yaakov. Because Yosef said... When my father dies, I'll kill my brother. So he says, why should I lose my husband and my son on the same day? It's not the pshat. He means, why should I lose
Esav
and Yaakov? Yeah, but then the question is, why should she lose Esav because Esav kills Yaakov?
Because then God will kill Esav.
Remember the story in Shmuel Beis where that wise woman went to ask David Shaila about her two sons? No, that's Shlomo. She was a fabricated story. It wasn't real, but she said, one of my sons killed my other son.
Oh.
And now the blood avengers want to kill him. And I don't, how can I be killed, bereft of both my sons at the same time? And David promised her that nothing will happen to your son. The king has the right to commute sentences too. All right. Pazukhes. Otsmu li almanosav. Mechol yamim hevesi lahem. Al aim bachur shodet b'tzarayim. Ipalti olea pit'om. Ir uveholot. I must tell you, this is a very difficult pasuk. Right? It says, Otsmu li almanosav. Right? I see many, many widows,
mm-hmm.
Right? The men are dying in battle. Right? Lechol yamim, like the sand of the sea. Right? Hevesi lohem. Al aim bachor shodet b'tzahrayim. Now, the aim refers to Yerushalayim. What two cities in the Tanakh are called Ir ve'aim b'Yisrael? It's a little tough. Givon is called Ir Ve'Ein B'Yisrael, just before Yoshua holds up the sun. And the description of Nineveh in Yonah is similar description. Anyway, Ir Ve'Ein, it's a mother city. It's like a mothership. Now, what's Shodet B'Tzarayim? No, under Rabbis.
Sure,
Shodei
they are like robbers.
Yeah, robbers with Sarai means they're so brazen.
In the middle of the day.
Yeah. Right. Oh, I thought you meant that. Yeah. Is that even in the middle of the day, they'll rob. Usually you wait until nighttime to rob.
Right. You won't be seen.
Yeah. Be seen. But things are so bad, in other words, v'ein machrid. They'll do what they'll do, and there's no one to stop them. Okay. The pit'om is a very disturbing point. Pit'om means suddenly all these things will happen to you. It will happen before you can even prepare for them. I'm not going to spend too much time on this passage because it's very tragic, but it means that the one who has given birth to seven shall be bereft. It means that, so the sword will come to you. Oili imi ki yiliditini ishriv ishmadon l'chol haaretz lo nashisi v'lo nashubi kulo mekalaloni. What an amazing passage this is. You don't have Nevi'im really given such a forum to have such a personal statement. Woe unto me, my mother, who gave birth to me. And I remember we did the very first days we were learning at the beginning of the year, we talked about Yirmiyahu cursing the day he was born. Right? Don't be discouraged that we're only up to chapter 14, because over the year we did a number of other chapters later in the book. So we'll see that the chapters will move shortly. But he curses the day he was born. He wishes that the man who instructed his his father that he had just had a baby, that he wished he killed me there in the womb, and why did I have to even come into this world? So he says, I am a man of strife. Everybody despises me. Everybody curses me. Right? No one forgets what I do. They don't let bygones be bygones. I'm trying to help. I have to speak out against what they're doing because God tells me to. What am I supposed to do? Right? Nabi Shekoveshes Nebuah Sochayev Misa. Okay. You have Aleph? You have it? You
have it? You have it? You have it? You have it? You have it? You have it? You have it?
Okay. So Hashem responds to Yirmiyahu in Pasuk Yud Aleph. I will make you a she'iris. Right? According to... Here is a very rare Rashi where he quotes both Menachem and Dunash. Are you familiar with the two of them? Menachem Bar Chelbo and Dunash Ibn Labrat. With two Ashkenazic grammarians that Rashi often quotes. These two grammarians were really eclipsed by the Sephardic grammarians, Ibn Chiyuj and Ibn Janach, that Ibn Ezra tends to quote. But Rashi didn't read Arabic, so he didn't have full access to those works. Rashi sometimes mentions Arabic, but it's pretty much acknowledged that the Sephardic grammarians were superior to the Ashkenazic grammarians.
What did the grammarians do?
They wrote books of grammar, hundreds of page books. Every 20 years, another book came about.
Like Elements of Style by Strunk and White?
And they often took each other to task. One Rishon, think of the name, when he wrote the book, it closed the door. Everyone recognized this person, the greatest grammarian of our millennia. And after he wrote his book, no one wrote a significant book of grammar for 500 years. But before he wrote the book, everybody wanted to get his two cents in what's the correct approach. Three-letter roots, two-letter roots, what letters fall out, what letters don't fall out. Is it Nifal? Is it... Which Rishon am I talking about? He's on this page. Yes, Medak. Medak wrote his grammar book, Michlol, and he wrote his book. He was well acknowledged. That there's nothing more to say.
I thought Ibn Ezra was one who was known for...
Ibn Ezra's well before him. But
because he came after everybody and did the definitive
work. Okay, so Rashi quotes both Menachem as well as Dunash, about what this word Sherisich means. Sherisich, it's a big Greek siv. So Rashi first says, Menachem says, Hish Arisich. It means that I will make you a remnant. Make a remnant for good. It says Latov, so it's got to be something good. Okay. So that means like lahashir. I'll make you a remnant. Okay. Then he quotes Dunash that says that it's a lashon haTorah. I will loosen your bounds. Okay, I will loosen the bound, the way that they bind you, and therefore, as he points out, this has an Aramaic usage of the word. Okay. Now I have to tell you that there is a story at the end of Sefer Yirmiyahu, where the Bnei Yisrael bound Yirmiyahu in ropes and throw him in the pits and the jail, and then Tzidkiyahu came to loosen the bounds and asked him an oracle and asked him to pray for Bnei Yisrael. This could be a reference to that. Okay. All right. So that is the and that fits the end of the pasuk. How the enemy will come to you, but I will free you from that. Okay. Rashi's attempt in the second parish is to fit that into what's written later in Perek Mem, Perek Mem Beis. Okay. Hayadoa Barzel, Barzel Mitzafon Unechoshes. It's a Hayaroa. Hayaroa Barzel, Barzel Mitzafon Unechoshes. Right? So, the Barzel from the north is the iron on the an ironclad promise, so to say, that this is going to come true. Remember, at the beginning of the book, he meets a phone tipotachara, and he's saying that the nature of the burden from the north is going to be iron and brass. Do you remember? I told you before, once before, some weeks ago, that Yirmiyahu would walk around with a yoke made of wood across his shoulders. Mm-hmm. And this came up in the Monday night shiur also. There's a yoke across his shoulders, and you know, he was bearing a burden on both sides. And Hanani ben Azur takes an axe and breaks the wood from his back. Might have hurt him also at the same time. And he says, Kocha shavartius ol malchus bavel. You know, he speaks like he's mamash at Navi, saying, Ko amar Hashem, you know, with all the fanfare. And Yirmiyahu says, you have not broken any yoke from Bavel. You are just making it worse. Because the Jews who do not submit to Bavel and fight will be wiped away. It's the bad figs, remember? Chapter 24.
But the sky, iron and brass is like the sky and the ground, but in a famine.
He may be cluing into that, but could be. Certainly a legitimate parish. The next day, Yirmiyahu came out, remember, with a yoke of iron.
Iron.
Oh. Right. In other words, you won't submit to this type of yoke, which is made of wood. It'll be even worse. Chel chavel tosecha lava zetem lo b'mechir, v'chocha tosecha v'chol gulecha. Whatever you have won't even be given to sale. They'll just take it. In other words, might as well sell it now, right? Because whatever you own will be what we might call easy pickings. They will just take what they want, right? Am I 14?
Yeah. And I will make thee to pass with thine enemies into a land which thou knowest not, for a fire is kindled in my nostrils, and shall burn upon you.
Okay, this now ends. And I'm, you know, I want to get some good nevuos here finally, but not too many in Yirmiyahu. But it says Zion, it starts off with a devastating prophecy, but it has one interesting good prophecy in it. But this is the end of the affliction. Okay. Yirmiyahu now evaluates. Hashem just said that you, the enemy, shall pass through this land. My anger is waxed against you, and it's burning. Right. So, It says, now Yirmiyahu talks to God, and he says, Atoya data Hashem, Zachreinu fakdeini v'nakem li mirot fayal, al la'erech ha'pachot kocheini, da se'isi olecha cherpa. Yirmiyahu gets personal again. He says, God, you know me, remember me. Right? He says, Hinokem li mirot fay. See, please take my vengeance out against those who pursue me. And who is he talking about here? His own people. He might still be talking about the people of Anatot, back from chapter 11. Das se'isi olecha cherpa. Just remember, God. Look at all of the shame that I bear because of you. Right? Nimtzu dvarecha v'ochleim v'yehi dvarecha li l'sason u'l'simchas l'bavi ki nimgoshim cho alai Hashem elokei tzvakos. Yirmiyahu now turns the corner. Remember, we did this with chapter 20. Remember, he goes on a roller coaster ride up and down about God's word, swearing that I'll never speak in your name again. You're just, every time I speak, open my mouth with your word, they just throw me in the pits. They shame me. And he goes, I'm not talking about you anymore. I'm finished. And the next pasuk, he's praising God and he's saying, well, right? Here too, between pasuk Tezvav and Tezayin, I devour your words. And they are to me like sason and simchas levavi. Wow. Serious. They are to me like a great joy. Can you cross shimcha alai Hashem Elokei Tzvakos? Your name is called upon me, God. It's a great joy to be in your inner circle. Does that change the fact that what's true about Pasuk Tezvav is still true? Yeah, but life is very contradictory, and what causes depression is that people cannot get out of the things that are going to bother every human being. Everyone is going to have anxiety because it's a fact of human life that bad things are going to happen to us. When we least need it, we least expect it, and that's life. It's Murphy's Law to stress those more. What we'll manage, and especially if you can teach this to children, is to work out of those things based on stressing the good things you have, the things you have to look forward to. But when kids are spoiled and they only have, there's nothing for them to look forward to, of course there's no way out of the depression. And I don't mean to oversimplify and over-trivialize depression, but what Yirmiyahu is doing here is he's profoundly depressed character in this book, with good reason. But at times in the book, he teaches us how he lifted himself out of that depression through a series of realizations. Okay, he's in Perek Chof. It seems to be a manic depression. He goes to extremes in his complaints and in his joyous rants. And here he's just saying that your word to me is simultaneously a kelis and a cherpa, but it's also a sason and a simcha. Right? We have to teach kids not to sweat the small stuff. Right? But sometimes it just gets grades on. You can see one kid takes a test and doesn't mind, the other kid takes a test and it ruins their day if they feel they didn't answer a question right. Right?
They'll go over and over in their heads. Yes, they do.
So, a lot of parents also feel that kids must be happy, period.
Right, well also, if some parents put too much pressure on their kids, they have to. The worst thing to do is to have expectations of them that are not realistic. Well, a good parent also wants to build up expectations so that they can strive for something. The key is to say that you are what you are and you have your own self-worth regardless of what you get. Love is unconditional. So Hashem's love to Yirmiyahu is unconditional. But and Yirmiyahu realizes that in a pasuk like this. But if your love is so unconditional, why do I suffer so much? Why do they do so well? Why am I suffering? Right? Can't you show them some ahava like that sometimes? You know?
We're chosen people.
Lama hayoke evi netzach umakos yanusha. Look at this. Oh, I'm sorry, I skipped the list. 17. Lo yashafti besod misachakim ve'elos. I never sat. Sod here means in the secret company, but it's like kenom siach sod sabe kodesh, right? Kesod siach sarim, right? How about this one? In Yaakov's bracha to Shimon and Levi, right? Lo yavo, so lashon besodam al yavo nafshi v'kalos, right? Besodam al yavo nafshi. I don't want to be in their sod. Sod means an inner circle where they tell secrets. Okay, so that's what it means here. In other words, I never sat in an inner circle of people who just scoff and. What do you have from a sachakim there? People make merry, probably, and people rejoice, right? Elos is from the word like Aliza, right? So I'm not a scoffer. Mipnei yod chob adod yishavti kizami leisani. Because of you, God, I sit alone. I often think of this pasuk when I'm looking at shul and I see one person is sitting in seven different seats during the davening. Got to find out what he's talking. He's doing. He's a big chevroman and he's very popular. And I think of this other guy over here who sits same place all the way in the corner, davening seriously. No one wants to come over to him and tell him a joke. No one wants to tell him, ask him his opinion of the latest sports scandal or anything. That, you know, because he's in his own. You know. So you'd be always saying, no one cares about that. People hate me. They don't care about my opinion. I mean, it's. Remember, Tevye says, I want to sit on that wall where everyone wants to know my opinion, right? Remember? Mm. And I'd be in his song if I were a rich man. Right, so.
Did he think it would be killed in. Did that. One of those?
I don't know. Could
he had his 85th birthday last week.
Oh, nice. Should live and be well.
I think he did that.
Alright, so. So he says that no one, you know, God, you, the fact that I do this for you has greatly impeded my ability to be one of the people. Right? What a schus it is to go out there and give mussar, but also to be an appeal. Now, generally, the people who like to hear mussar probably don't need it so much, but the people who need it aren't the ones who like to hear it. Chayin kol mar Hashem. I keep skipping the pasuk. Lama yoke evi netzach umakos yanusha. Why is my pain everlasting? Evi netzach. It's ongoing. Stop. Umakosi anusha. Right. Why should my maka, my affliction, right? Why should my affliction be anusha, which means what's it?
In Hebrew,
mine is
mortal.
It's
mortal.
A mortal. Oh yeah, like a nosh. Right. So something that is at the very least serious. Let's look at the Targum word. Lama hava kevi lafrash mechasi takifa. Takifa means, takif. It's very, very serious. Here, could be that. Me'anahe rafei, yeah. Sanusha means it will not be cured. What has been done to me will not change. Right, it's. I'm going to live with it for the rest of my life. Hayoti yeli kimo achzov mayim lo ne'emanu. It has surely become to me like achzov. Achzov means something that is cut off forever. Kol adam kozev, kuziba, means something not real, but it's not everlasting. It's something that's cut off. Right. He says, "Mayim lo ne'emanu." Water that doesn't perform its task. It doesn't give sustenance. It's not kayam. It just disappears. It evaporates. Right. In other words, the good that I have evaporates. The evil that I have stays with me forever. Isn't there a line like that in Mark Antony's speech, the good that men do, something about evil is oft interred with their bones? Remember? Something like that. Anyway, so Lachen Komar Hashem, Lisa, would you test?
Lachen Komar Hashem, Im Tashem Hashem Chalufana Itzamot, Im Tzotzi Yakayim Yizolel, Kifi Tiyye Yashiv Rehema Ilaha, Ata Lo Tashem Aleyem.
Wow. What is this saying? Therefore, because you feel this way, thus says the Lord, Im Tashuv, the question is, who is Hashem talking to? To Bnei Yisrael? Rudak says Hashem is talking to Yirmiyahu. Amar lo hakel, dibarta kenegdi devarim asher lo kein b'macho hayoti ali kimo achzav v'nichatos ali. Right? Hashem is telling Yirmiyahu, you've sinned against me by saying this. It's the Rudak talking now. Okay. V'atayim teshuv b'tshuva lefanai v'tischaret al ma shamarta ani ashivcha b'tshuva v'slach lecha v'tamod lefanai k'vatchila. Right? If you, it's amazing. If you do something like this, Hashem tells the prophet, you've sinned by saying these last few psukim. If you do tshuva, I will let you stand before me again. Now Yirmiyahu may not want to do tshuva, because he said before, and he's saying he's going to say again, I don't want to stand before you. I had enough of this.
It's nothing to do with it.
Right? Remida l'chud Hashem, hi atfila v'hoda l'fanav, v'kibu l'nevua, kimo shamari miyamod Moshe u'shmu l'fanai, Avraham Adenu were made lifnei Hashem. Okay. It says, Omar Hashem, Im Tashuv Ashivcha, Lefonai Ta'amod. And he says, Ta'amod. Remember the first pasuk in this perek? Omar Hashem, Elai, Im Ya'amod. What do we call the Shema Nesrei? Right?
Amida.
Okay. Then you will be able to stand before me again. If you turn around and you realize the error of your ways in the way you talk to me, v'im totsi yakar mizolel kefi tihiyeh. Let's continue. V'im madak, you with me? V'im totsi yakar mizolel, you hear me? V'im tatriach atzmacha, you see? ואם תטריח עצמך עליהם להחזירים למותה ותוציא הקור מזולל שתוכל להשיב הרשעים שהם זוללים להשיבים טובים ויקרים כפי תהיה מה שתגזר ותאמר יזכיים כאילו אני אומר זו. Wow, this is amazing. Yirmiyahu is being told, listen, you spoke against me, you said the wrong things about your relationship with me, I will not allow you to stand before me if you talk that way. Here's how you can do tshuva. You get the people to turn around. Find kavod from those who scoff. Right? It'll be as if though it's from my mouth. They will come to you, you won't have to come to them. I would use this as an interesting explanation. The Gemara at the end of Maseches Yuma talks about all kinds of sins and expiation from sins for Yom Kippur. So the Gemara says that if you wish to be a Zara, you would commit murder, what are the various types of kaparos? Some kaparos can only happen in death. But the Gemara says, but Chil Hashem has no kapara whatsoever. Okay. And the Gemara gives all kinds of examples of Chil Hashem. However, Rabbeinu Yonah says in Shari Tshuva, based on other Gemaras, Masechet Shavuos and elsewhere, that there is a simple kapara for Chil Hashem, Kiddush Hashem. So Yirmiyahu may have been guilty of a chilul Hashem, the way he spoke about God and these pesukim yitzayin, right? Tesvav, tezayin, yitzayin, yitzayin. So Hashem says, all right, it's not enough for you to just do tshuva yourself. You're a special person, Yirmiyahu. I want you to get other people to see my glory. And that's your tshuva. Nisatichu lo'am hazeh l'chomas nechoshes b'tzura, v'nilchamu elecha, v'lo yochlu lach. Does that sound familiar? Want to go back to Perek Aleph? Look at Perek Aleph, Pasuk. Pasuk Yud Ches and Yud Tes. Perek Aleph, Pasuk Yud Ches and Yud Tes. Notice the difference between Pasuk Yud Tes in Perek Aleph and Pasuk Chof in Perek Tes Vav. Do you see one simple subtle difference? In Pasuk Perek Aleph it says, they'll fight you, Nilchamoy Lacha V'lo Yuchlulach. Same exact words, right? Nilchamoy Lacha V'lo Yuchlulach. Mamish, exact same words. Ki Itcha Ani, Ne'um Hashem. There it says, Neum Hashem, at the end of the Pasuk. But here it says, Lahushiacha Ulatzilecha. By the time you get up to Pasuk Tezvav, Yirmiyahu needs much more protection. Needs salvation and protection. In other words, Yirmiyahu couldn't fathom back in Perek Aleph what would be the extent to which they would try to kill him. His own people. V'itzaltzicha mi'adroim. I will save you. U'v'disicha mi'kafka aritzim. And I'll poda you, I'll redeem you. Now does he say, I'll save you? Yirmiyahu isn't saved. Saved means nothing at all will happen to you. That's not true.
Lots of things happen to him.
They took out plenty of vengeance on him. Alright, that concludes Perek Tezvav. We will miss Hashem to Perek Tezayin next week, which is really a devastating Perek, but there's quite an interesting Mahalach in Perek Tes Zion about the future of Yerushalayim. So we're going to do all that in Mitzvah Shem next week, and that will be our last week before the break. So.